of Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
I'm so happy to be joined with by the legendary Lynn Anderson on this edition of In the Country. She's had 11 number one hits, 18 top tens. To name just a few on that list that you know and love, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden, which we heard off the top there, Rocky Top, and Top of the World. She has won a pile of awards as well, including CMAs and a Grammy. There's a lot to talk about and great music to share with my special guest, Lynn Anderson. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you, Dave?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself this evening?
I'm doing good, doing good. I'm in Nashville and happy as a clam. I've been in New Mexico for about 20 years and just came back to be closer to my mom and daddy. And in the process, I've kind of rekindled my career.
That is great to hear. And in fact, something that you've been taking part in for a number of years, one of the few artists that's done it right from the start and continue to today, the CMA Music Fest coming up in June. And you'll be there performing, greeting fans. And tell us about that experience.
Oh, that's always been fun. I was literally at the very first fanfare. And Lord knows how many years ago that was.
But
I'm one of the artists that really enjoys being hands-on and really enjoy, you know, meeting everybody and shaking hands and signing the autographs and saying hello to everybody. So I'm kind of right in my element during Country Music Week. I really enjoy getting in with the folks.
And I'm sure there's a lot of generations that come to see you because, of course, people who are around when your first hits were out are fans, and I'm sure their kids and so forth have grown to love that music as well, so you appeal to all those generations of country music fans.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's really interesting. My audiences are kind of a conglomeration of, you know, folks in their 60s all the way down to 9 and 10.
That's great. That is great to hear. Now, I also understand that you just returned from a two-week tour of the UK. What was that like, and is country music pretty big over there?
It's very big. They like the traditional country music. I liked your theme song, by the way.
Thank you.
They like very traditional country music. They like it country. And so it was very very much fun. I really enjoy England and Ireland and Scotland, and it's beautiful country over there. Got to visit a castle or two.
Oh wow!
And
now, is there anywhere in the world, Lynn, that you haven't been yet with your music, or even just traveling that you'd like to see?
Well, I haven't been to Egypt. I'd love to go see the pyramids before it becomes impossible to. You know, to see that, my daughter was over there a year or so ago, just before a bunch of violence broke out in Cairo. They just literally got back about a week before violence broke out in the streets over there. So I'm hoping that I get to go and take a visit and get to see the pyramids and those kind of things. That would be wonderful.
That sounds great. Now, you're speaking of your daughter there. I understand that she is a bit of a singer. She's done some harmony on one of your albums recently, but is she a singer? Is that something she's pursuing or just on the side?
No, actually. Both of my girls can sing. My son is the one who really could be a star if he wanted to.
Uh-huh.
He's the one that can get up on stage with me and the girls just go crazy.
Isn't that great?
He's got the moves. He's got the charisma. He's got the voice. He's got the looks.
Right.
But now he's gotten married and had a baby. So I think his time has come and gone.
He's settled down already. Yeah, that's great. Now, Lynn, your mother, Liz Anderson, a big hit songwriter, and a lot of people know the songs that she has written, and, of course, the artist that I'm going to mention, Merle Haggard, has recorded her songs, Del Reeves, Tammy Wynette, Lori Morgan, to name a few. Tell us about growing up around. I understand your father was in the music business and a songwriter as well. What was that like, and talk about some of the big hits that she wrote.
Oh, it was a very interesting childhood. It was very musical. My mom's sisters all sang. We would get together on the weekends and everybody would sing. As I was growing up, I would wake up at 2 a.m. and hear music coming from the living room and throw some clothes on, and there would be Merle Haggard or Buck Owens or somebody like that in the living room listening to mom's songs. And, they would go to a club and bring somebody home. They'd cook breakfast and listen to music for a couple of hours. So Mother wrote Merle Haggard's very first hit record. It was called Strangers. From now on, all my friends are going to be strangers.
Right,
and that's
great classic.
That's, of course, what he named his band after.
Yeah.
And then she wrote his first number one record, which was The Fugitives.
Right.
And she and Daddy wrote that together. She wrote that together. And then she wrote most of mine when I was beginning. My very first record was called Ride, Ride, Ride. And then she wrote If I Kiss You, Will You Go Away? And all that good stuff for me. She's written, as you said, for Conway Twitty and Brenda Lee and Connie Smith and Tammy Wynette and just an awful lot of great singers. She's a wonderful writer. I just lost her about 5 months ago.
Oh, that's always tough.
Yeah, she's a little girl, but she's left some big shoes to follow.
Definitely. I mean, that's just such amazing success, those songs that she's written and all those big names to record, because, of course, every songwriter out there hopes that, they might get one big song or a few, but she had a whole bunch. So obviously that was an influence on you just in the world of music and creativity, I have to imagine.
Absolutely. I certainly would not be in the music business if it wasn't for my mother and my dad. They paved the way for me. Mother had always wanted to be a singer, and she basically opened the doors, and I snuck in. And then I was married to a great songwriter named Glenn Sutton. He would go to the office, and I'd come home, and I'd ask him what he'd written, and he'd say, I don't want to play house.
Wow.
He wrote, "Oh, your good girl's gonna go bad," and Take Me to Your World, and Almost Persuaded.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
What Made Milwaukee Famous for Jerry Lee Lewis. So he wrote like 60 number one hit records. So I got surrounded by his music, and my current fella that I've been with for 25 years wrote, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. Want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
Love it. Yeah, They'll Be Gray. Awesome song.
Yeah, They'll Be Gray.
Yep. That's amazing. You really have surrounded yourself with, as you say, these great songwriters. I mean, all the people you mentioned are such big names, classic hits.
Yeah, they really are. I've really got a musical family. My brother-in-law now is Paul Williams, who is president of ASCAP, and he wrote, oh golly, Rainy Days and Mondays and The Rainbow Connection and just an awful lot of things for Barbara Streisand on down. He's part of the family too. So
that's
really
amazing. I remember Paul
family.
From different things over the years, and his songwriting as well, and his singing. That's incredible. And let's turn to, of course, your big hit, Rose Garden, from September of 1970, that everybody knows. We played it off the top, but people remembered the song anyway. Was there any notion when you went to record it, or maybe talk about the first time you heard the song? As was it a guarantee that you were going to record it? Any hesitation, or just you knew it was something special?
Well, I loved the song. I had a habit of listening to songwriters, listening to music, because that's the way I was raised. And I found this album by Joe South called Introspect, and it had Rose Garden in it, and Don't It Make You Want to Go Home, and Walk a Mile in My Shoes, and Hush. Just some wonderful songs in there, and I really wanted to record them. My husband at the time was Glenn Sutton, who wrote all those hits for Tammy Wynette, and he said that it was a man's song, that a woman wouldn't sing I Could Promise You Things Like Big Diamond Rings. So we kept putting it off and putting it off, and one day we ran out of songs. We literally, the sessions were going so smoothly and so well that we recorded 12 songs in three sessions. And didn't have anything else to do. So he said, well, go home and pick out some stuff that you want to cut, pick out some cover recordings or, you know, just some songs that you want to cut, and we'll do that this evening. So one of them that I grabbed was Rose Garden. And
that is
the rest,
incredible.
As they say, is history.
It is history, because it went to be very quickly to be a number one song in country, crossed over the pop charts. You won a Grammy for that one. Just incredible, and obviously your signature song.
Right. Actually, that one opened so many doors for me. I, as you know, just got back from England and Ireland and Scotland. I'm going to Norway next week. And the song was a hit all over the world. We started to record it in Spanish and in Japanese and in different languages.
Wow.
And it took off all by itself, just in English. So it was a big hit all over the world.
I'm equally proud
of Rocky Top. I love,
yes.
That's the Tennessee State theme song. And
yeah.
Top of the World was Country Song of the Year.
Yep.
Cry was a Grammy song. So I'm very blessed to have been as lucky as I have been and been able to get my hands on some great songs.
It's quite amazing. We're going to share a few of those on the show. Let's start with the song we just talked about, Rose Garden, and then we've got lots more to talk about with Lynn Anderson. Here's her classic hit on In the Country.
I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta give. So live and let live or let go. Oh, I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you things like big diamonds. But you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. So you better think it over. When it's sweet talking, you could make it come true. I would give you the world right now on a silver platter. But what would it matter? So smile. And you know.
And there's my guest, Lynn Anderson, with one of her big hit songs. That is called Rose Garden. Got a couple more of those to share with you on the show here today. And Lynn, I understand you were the first female country artist who appeared on The Tonight Show.
Yes, I was. Actually, Johnny Carson was not a big country music fan, and it was kind of a big coup to get to do that. Actually, right. I think the audience kind of felt it because he wasn't going to let me sit down, and the audience wouldn't stop applauding. So they went to commercial, and he let me sing another song to the audience in the studio, and and then they kept clapping. So so I got to sit down and talk.
What a great story!
Yeah, it was very interesting. It was very. You know, it was really a lot of fun because, like I said, he wasn't known as a country music fan at all.
Right,
so
right.
The audience kind of took matters into their own hands.
Isn't that great, country
really
fans? Yeah, country fan and lovers of good music will let their voices be heard. So that's great that happened. I want our listeners to know they can head to. Yeah, LynnAndersonShow.com is your website where they can find out more about you, of course, and keep up to date with you and then follow you on Facebook and Twitter through there. Now, duet partners, you've had several over the years. Lynn, any favorites come to mind? I'm sure they're all great, but any particular favorite moments singing with another artist?
Oh, boy, I remember singing when I came back to Nashville. I got to sing on a special with George Jones, and he had just broken up with Tammy Wynette and put his arm around me and he said, "Well, you're a really good singer and your hair's the right color, but you're just the wrong woman."
Wow.
It was like, whoa. There's a moment.
Yeah, that's a moment to remember. Wow.
Yeah, I know. And I think my favorite duet was with Gary Morris called You're Welcome to Tonight.
Right. The early 80s, wasn't it?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, that one I think made it to number 5 in the chart. It was in the top 5 for the CMA Awards. It didn't win the CMA, but it made the nominations.
And Gary Morris, such a great singer, just got that beautiful voice of his.
Oh, absolutely. We actually saw him. My daddy and I went to the Hall of Fame maybe 2 months ago and saw Gary do an acoustic performance with he and his guitar. And he was phenomenal. Just absolutely, what a great big voice. Actually, I got to tell you a story. In the studio, when we were recording You're Welcome to Tonight, he's got such a great big voice. And then, of course, I had to get above him. And so there we are in the studio with one mic between us, looking eye to eye, although he's a foot taller than I am. But so I just reared back and belted it out, and I could see my head was towards the control room, and I could see the engineer dive for the control booth, starting to pull down the volumes. And they came into the studio and said, "That was really good, but you broke the microphone. So we need to replace the microphone, and would you guys mind doing that again?"
Oh, my.
So it was the poor microphone just kind of sizzled.
What a great story. And all you were trying to do is keep up with Gary, who, as we know, has that voice. I mean, he's done opera as well, so his voice is quite powerful.
Absolutely. So I was singing toe-to-toe with him. I worked a television show with him 4 or 5 years ago, and he said, "Can you still sing like that?" And I said, "Do you want to take me on?" Anyway,
break another microphone. That's great.
There you go. Yeah, he's quite a singer. It was a pleasure to sing with him.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. The Lawrence Welk Show, you became a regular on that. What was that experience like, doing different songs each week and working with Lawrence?
Oh, it was amazing. For one thing, I had just moved from California to Tennessee with my parents, and I was in total shock that my parents allowed me to go to California and live in an apartment by myself in Big Bad Hollywood. But they kind of made a pact with Mr. Welk. They kind of tried to get me and Mr. Welk's son, Larry Jr., married off. But it didn't work. It's funny, I still see him. He races cutting horses. So I wow. still see him at the National Cutting Horse Association every year.
That is amazing. And we're going to talk about your whole career in the world of equestrian, world of horses and all that. I know it started at a young age. We want to get to that in a few moments because it's quite interesting. I was reading up on it. But let's turn to some more music for a moment here. Let's go to a live version of your song, Cry. It's from the Live at Billy Bob's CD. Tell us about the song, Lynn, and just sort of choosing to record it in the first place and how much you enjoy performing it now.
Oh, boy, this is one of my favorites. A lot of my songs have been kind of up-tempo, and this is the kind of song that I really enjoy sinking my teeth into, you know, step back and really, really belt it out. I love this song. It was, of course, number one for Johnny Ray, and I heard it when I was a kid, and my mother loved the song, so anyway, it's one of my favorite recordings.
Awesome. Let's share now. This is a live version of that song. And this is Lynn Anderson with Cry on In the Country.
If your sweetheart sends a letter.
Great performance from Lynn Anderson here on In the Country, and that is Cry, recorded live at Billy Bob's from the CD of the same name. Beautiful version there, Lynn.
Oh, thank you very much. That's my live band, and I really enjoy working with them, and they get me all revved up.
That is awesome. Now, we talked about duet partners earlier. Is there somebody you haven't sung with yet that maybe comes to mind if you were to do another duet in the future, or a couple of them? Any duet partners that you'd like to have?
Oh, Brad Paisley. I'd love to sing with Brad Paisley. I think he's just great. And he's one who kind of will step back and sing with some of us who have been around for a while.
Right.
little Jimmy Dickens comes to mind. So he's always very respectful of those of us who have been in the business for a while. So I'd love to sing with Brad.
It's great when artists like him, as well as Alan Jackson, and all those ones who not only keep it traditional, even though they might stretch the boundaries now and then, but they always encompass and welcome the legends of yesterday, basically. So they keep the music alive, too, because a lot of times they'll cover the songs that we all know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Martina McBride did Rose Garden a couple of years ago.
Definitely.
And she did a special at the Opry House, and presented a whole show of her album, and she invited myself and Ray Price to come and sing our duets, our songs with her. So she did Heartaches by the Number with Ray Price, and
yeah.
she did Rose Garden with me. So it was fun.
That is awesome. The CD's called Timeless with all those great country covers. Yeah.
Right. And I, when I walked into the Opry House, the orchestra was playing. I just started playing Rose Garden, so I just walked out on the stage and grabbed the microphone and started singing. And the band leader at the Opry used to work for me, so he came and gave me a hug, and he said, "Did you realize that was a key higher than you sing it in?" I said, "No, I didn't, but I made it." That's always fun.
Yeah, Martina's another one of those. You talk about Gary Morris, who can really belt it out, so I'm sure she's one to keep up with as well as far as the power singing.
Absolutely. It was fun to sing with her. You know, it really was a lot of fun to sing with her. And like I said, I didn't realize that we were singing at a key higher than I usually sing it, so I surprised myself. I love Jennifer Nettles as well. I think Jennifer Nettles is just great.
Yeah, great voice.
Oh yeah, she's so
Sugar Land.
Yeah, she's so unique. You know, she's got like a great personality. I really like her.
Yeah, she can take a song very acoustic like Stay, the big hit for Sugar Land, and just put so much into that, and it's basically just her voice and the guitar, and she can capture that emotion.
Exactly. I love that song as well. It's a great song.
Yeah. Now, give us some memories about the Grand Ole Opry. I know it's been a big part of your life, Lynn. Any highlights or just the general feeling you get when you perform there, when you're there in that place where all the legends and the stars of today perform?
Well, I remember the first time I ever went backstage at the Opry. I was just a kid, and it was my first trip to Nashville with Mom and Dad, and we went backstage, and Patsy Cline was on stage. It's been that long ago, and she came.
Wow.
She came. That was before the Opry House was all fixed up and refurbished and redone. And she brushed past me in the hallway and said hello. So that was my first night at the Grand Ole Opry, and that was my first brush with greatness.
Yeah, wow! That's a great memory.
Oh, yeah. And she passed away not long after that. It was really, you know, within 6 months or something that she was gone. So I treasured getting, she said hello to me.
Yeah, isn't that something? And
yeah.
the times that you performed on the stage, quite magical to be up there and performing your songs?
Absolutely. It's a great place to work. You really don't even need a microphone. It's just so acoustically perfect. I get to work what they call the Legends shows, often hosted by Larry Gatlin. And, some of the greats like the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'll sing with John Anderson or Connie Smith some of the greats. It's been just a lot of fun, and it's always a thrill to get to sing on stage at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, those shows are so great. The country classics, as you mentioned, with Larry Gatlin and Bill Anderson doing the family reunion, which are out on DVD or on YouTube. It's so great to be able to see singers like yourself and other singers do those great songs. There's just something real special about it.
Yeah, I got to sing. I got to sing once a day on. Oh no, it wasn't once a day. What was it? I can't remember. It was a Connie Smith song, and I forgot the words.
Oh. did she help you out, or did somebody else
jump
in?
Yeah, he did. He did. So yeah. I just kept on going. Everybody in the room just kind of laughed, and then after that, everybody started using notes after I flubbed mine, everybody started using their papers and put them up on the music stand.
Oh, that's too funny. Yeah, I would imagine it's hard to remember. I mean, you've got to sing a lot of songs. Have you ever forgotten lyrics on stage during one of your shows?
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah?
Absolutely. You know, every so often I'll forget Rose Garden or get it backwards. You know, I'll get something
right.
Will distract me. You know, somebody in the audience, and I'm really funny about, you know, I get people out of the audience to come up on stage with me, and I'll go down in the audience and sit on somebody's lap or do something silly like that. So I get distracted. You know, I'll start talking to somebody in the audience, and I'll forget what I'm doing. So it's all, you know what? The one thing to me that always keeps it fresh is that I know there are some people who literally do the same words every night. They say the same things, and
right.
Like they'll walk six steps to the right and say this, and then they'll sing this song, and then they'll walk four steps to the left and they'll say, you know, the exact same thing they said the night before, and
yes.
the show is exactly the same, and I just can't do that. I just have to let it flow naturally, and I, like I said, I cut up with the people in the audience, and I'll, you know, mess around, and I'll change a song, and, you know, the band always has to stay on their toes, because I'll switch from one song to another, and, you know,
right.
keep them active.
Yeah, exactly. And that keeps things not just interesting for the audience, but for yourself. I did see quite a big country name somewhere and on a couple of different occasions, and you're right, it was the same. I was surprised. It was the same kind of talk, and everything was sort of the same. So to make it fresh is going to be more interesting for you, too.
Exactly. I really don't think I could do it that way, you know, and
yeah.
say exactly the same things. I think I'd get bored silly, you know. I think I'd just have to stay home. I just really enjoy getting to react to the audience and, you know, react to where I happen to be that night and
right.
you know, talk about what I did that day or whatever, you know.
Yeah. That's what's great
more
about
fun
country entertainers. Yeah, we get to know about you. We're more close to country artists than other ones because it's a more personal type of thing, not only the songs, but as you said, the talking in between when you tell them what you did that day.
Right. You know, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of like Twitter and Facebook, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to ask you
know.
About that. Do you enjoy, I think you're relatively new to Facebook and Twitter from what I understand. Do you enjoy that way to reach out to your fans?
I do. It's very, you know, it's really entertaining. It's kind of amazing what you, you know, what you get into talking about. But it's always fun, and it keeps things fresh. And you never know who you're going to encounter online.
True.
You know,
true,
Dolly Parton will show up on my phone, and Martina McBride is a big one. She'll, you know, she shows up and tweets. And you know, there are several of them that are very active.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of the country stars who send out regular tweets, and a lot of them are quite funny, and it's quite entertaining. So we'll encourage our listeners to head to Facebook and Twitter to find you, and also LynnAndersonShow.com. And I want to talk about the horses and the equestrian lifestyle and all that, but we're going to play one more song, then we'll come back and get to that. Top of the World, one of your great songs, and it was also a hit for the Carpenters as well.
That's right.
So this song has been to the top of the charts. But tell us about finding the song, Lynn, and listening to it the first time and choosing to record it.
Well, as I said, I like to listen to other people's recordings, particularly the songwriters, and I love the Carpenters album. I love their music. A lot of it happened to be Paul Williams' music. But I particularly liked Top of the World. I thought it sounded like a country song. And I worked with the Carpenters. Actually, we met at Air Force One. President Reagan was coming in, and we had occasion to sit. Boy, I was... Richard Carpenter was on one side of me, and James Stewart was on the other side.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and I said, what are you going to do with that song, Richard? And he said, oh, we're finished with that album. It's done. Please record it, because Karen says that's a dumb hillbilly song, and she doesn't like it at all. So I did it, and mine started rocking up the charts and, you know, became number one country, and it was about at number 40 in the pop charts, and sure enough, there comes the Carpenters out with it. And from what I understand, they took my record into the studio in Los Angeles and added the steel guitar and said, make it sound like this.
Wow.
So, yeah, steel guitar player subsequently moved to Nashville, and he told me that story, said that they had taken their record back in and remixed it and added the steel guitar. And, of course, hers was number one pop and mine was number one country.
That is an amazing story. Let's share the song now. Lynn Anderson, Top of the World, here on In the Country.
It's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason it's clear is because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I see. I'm on the top of the world looking down.
Another hit song from my guest, Lynn Anderson. That is top of the world, and you can find her online at lynandersonshow.com. That's her website. She's also on Facebook and Twitter. Lynn, let's talk about your love of horses. I know it started at a young age, and you've won quite a few awards and been extremely active in it ever since then.
Yeah, my grandparents raised horses in North Dakota. My grandmother was from Canada, from Montreal.
Wow.
And anyway, they raised horses up in snowy North Dakota. So
right.
I learned my love of horses from my daddy's parents, and started riding. Mother said I started riding before I could walk, and singing before I could talk. So I've grown up with music and horses.
Now, do I have a right number here? I got it online, about 700 trophies by a certain age, by a young age.
Yeah. I used to show every weekend. I used to drive Mother crazy. I remember they were very patient about taking me to the horse shows and so on, but Mother would get bored, and she would sit up in the grandstands and write songs while I rode the horse all day. Because I'd ride from the first thing in the morning to the last class in the afternoon, you know, all day, every single class I was in it. So, you know, Mother would get bored to tears, and that's where she wrote a lot of songs. I've ridden just about every kind. I've ridden from trail horses to jumping horses to driving horses, you know, a little bit of everything. My specialty now is cutting horses. Are you familiar with those?
No, not with that term. Maybe you can explain it for us.
They're the ones that work cows. What you do is you get one cow out of the herd, and then you point that horse at that cow, and you let him know that that's his cow, and then it's his job to keep that cow away from the herd. The cow's natural instinct is to dart right back into the herd, and
okay.
The horse weaves back and forth to keep the cow away, and you're penalized if you guide the horse. If you use the reins, you're penalized. So you just have to sit there and let that horse swerve and dive underneath you to the right and to the left while he stops that cow. And it's very athletic. It's very, very, it's a lot of fun. And it's, you know, the cool part is that the horses are bred for it for generations, and they do it by themselves.
So that's their instinct at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're just literally along for the ride. Once you choose your cow and get it out of the herd, you have to drop your hand down, and from that point on, you can't guide the horse at all. So it's really athletic, and it's really a lot of fun. And it's like watching a ballet, you know, a duet ballet. The cow moves one way, and the horse goes with it. The cow moves the other way, and the horse goes with it, and they stay nose to nose. And it gets very exciting. I've been up around the horse's neck a time or two.
Oh no! Have you had any falls?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but it's a very physical sport. It's really, and I've bred and raised many of my own horses. So, you know, they're very athletic. They're not small. They're very muscled horses. They're quarter horses, and they're kind of low to the ground and very stocky, you know, like a wrestler.
Right.
So, anyway, they're...
That's great.
They're not easy to ride.
It sounds challenging. Now, another part, another good side of all this is horse riding therapy. I was reading up on to assist handicapped children, and you've brought this, I guess, organization together, Special Rides of Animal Land in Nashville. What can you tell us about that, Lynn?
Oh, that was great. It was Dixie Hall, who is Tom T. Hall's wife, had a an animal facility called Animal Land, and they would rescue, say a deer got hurt on the highway, or an owl, or you know, some kind of creature. They would take it there, and they would take care of it and nurse it back to health and let it go. And
yeah.
at at my daughter's birthday party when she was 6 years old. We had horseback rides in the driveway, and I had my mare hitched to a buggy, and we were giving rides. And there was one little boy there who had spina bifida, and he had crutches, and he had braces on his legs, and he just would not stop until he got to ride that horse. And then we couldn't get him off. He got all excited. And his mother called me back that evening, and she said, "Listen, I have never seen my son so excited. Is there any way we can do this again?" And so that's kind of how the special riders started. What we did is put one person at one knee and another person at the other knee, and then somebody leading the horse. And, my daughter got involved with it, and it became a therapeutic riding facility, and it's still going, actually. It's called Saddle Up now, but it's been in existence for 26 years.
That's amazing. I've heard of dog therapy before, dogs to bring around people who need that kind of attention
and give
it to the dogs. So with horses, this is great that they can provide that.
Oh, absolutely. It's an amazing physical therapy, but it's also incredibly incredible for a kid's self-esteem. You can see a little boy who might be in a wheelchair, and he'll come up and approach that horse and somewhat hesitantly. And once you get him up there, boy, it's like all of a sudden they're a giant, you know. All of a sudden they're taller than everybody, and their legs go, the horse's legs work where theirs don't, and it makes them feel strong, and it makes them feel good. You can see those kids just start smiling, and it's kind of an amazing therapy.
That's great that the horse riding therapy does that, as well as your music. I'm sure you've had people over the years tell you after a show, or even write to you and say certain songs of yours have meant a lot to them in their life. Maybe it was used at a wedding, or maybe it just made them happy during a tough time.
Yeah, I have had that happen, and it's always a good feeling to know that you've been a part of somebody's life that they might remember, especially Rose Garden, became a lot of people's kind of theme song, because the lyrics of it are so true. Along with the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometime. I've had people say that song has kind of pulled them through some hard times.
Yeah, for sure. It's it's got that message in it, and the music to it is so happy. You feel good as you listen to it. It's very positive.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
It's terrific. What's ahead for you this year, Lynn? You've got CMA Music Fest, of course, coming up in June, where you're very busy greeting fans and performing and all that. What else is coming up in 2012?
Well, I'm headed back for Norway next week. I've had two number one records in Norway, and a TV station came to Nashville last fall and shot me at the Opry and at the Bluebird Cafe and riding horses, and they shot a show with my mother and father doing an interview, and I was singing with my mom. That's the last interview she did. And then I get to go to Norway, and I get to go back to where my great-grandparents lived, meet my cousins and my nieces and nephews and stuff from the old country. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I have a record out now in Spanish and English that's doing very well in Spain and Mexico. It's called Mexican Angel, and it's with a Spanish singer named Cerrito. And I'm working on another Western album working on another country album.
Oh, that's exciting. So you've picked out some songs already?
Yes, we've already got six recorded.
Oh, terrific. That's very exciting. Now, these other albums you mentioned, the Mexican album and the other one, are they available through your website, lynandersonshow.com?
The Spanish one I don't think is available on my website. It may be, actually, but we can get a copy of it to you if you want.
That'd be great.
I bet we can make that happen.
Terrific. I look forward to that. And our listeners can check out your website to see if it's there. If not, there's other music they can choose from on iTunes as well. Lynn, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. I've been a fan for many years. Enjoy your songs. And it was so great to chat with you.
Well, thanks, Dave. I really enjoyed talking with you. You're a lot of fun.
I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.